Every bottle has a front label. That's the story they want you to know. The back label is the story they didn't. This is the back label. A story that gives you the full pour. Let's begin.
In 1978, a Baltimore lawyer with no formal wine training sat down and wrote his first newsletter review. No famous palate, no inherited cellar, no industry connections, just a grudge. He believed wine criticism was rigged, that too many critics were too cozy with the people whose bottles they reviewed. So he launched the Baltimore, Washington Wine Advocate as a free newsletter, refused advertising, and built his ratings around a 50 to 100 point scale, modeled on the American school grading system. His name was Robert Parker. And in the silence that follows a decision like that, maybe he was thinking,
if the old rules protect the old boys, then the old rules must go.
That simple move, turning wine into a number anyone could understand, would end up reshaping how the entire world drinks wine. Because here's the dangerous part. It worked too well. A score from Parker could move a wine's price by millions of euros. A 100-point bottle could transform it into a trophy. And suddenly, winemakers in Bordeaux weren't just making wine for their terroir. They were making wine for one man's mouth. In his head, maybe Parker heard the criticism building, the whispers, the resentment, the panic, and answered with a calm only conviction can buy.
I can hate the method. I can't deny the effect. I can hate the method. I can't deny the effect.
But the industry heard something else. Critics began calling it Parkerization. A global drift toward big, ripe, fruit-forward, high-alcohol wines, because that's what reportedly scored well with him. And if you're making a subtle, structured, old-world wine that needed time to unfold, good luck selling poetry in a marketplace that had started shopping by number. That's where Jancis Robeson enters the story. A British master of wine, she pushed back hard, warning as early as the late 1980s that Parker and his publication were in danger of controlling the international fine wine market. Her argument wasn't really about Parker the man, it was about power. About what happens when one scale, one palate becomes the gatekeeper for an industry built on diversity, memory, and place. Robinson kept her own system on a 20-point scale, deliberately less commercial, deliberately more old world. Two critics, two philosophies. One fight over whether wine should be judged like a science experiment or experienced like a story. And Parker, somewhere in the center of the storm, might have thought,
I'm not creating taste, I'm exposing it.
Decades later, the scale war still isn't fully settled. Parker retired in 2019. The Wine Advocate changed hands, eventually landing with Michelin. But the 100-point system he built is still stamped on shelf takers in wine aisles everywhere in America. And so is the resistance to it, from critics who still believe a number can never replace a story.
Every bottle has a front label. That's the story they want you to know. The back label is the story they didn't. You've just heard the full pour.